Welcome to the SNS ICE podcast, your go-to source for the latest news and in-depth insights into the world of 6G in Europe. Join us as we dive into industry news, analyze the latest trends, and discuss the development of the new generation of cellular networks.
Good day. I am Pierre-Yves Danet, senior consultant at the 6G AI and also chairman of the Smart Connectivity Digital Innovation Hubs Network, which has the objective to support the DH day-to-day operation. So today, this podcast, organized by the SNS ICE Support Action, has the objective to explain how SNS projects result can contribute to the Digital Europe Program objective. So SNS projects, mainly Stream C and Stream G projects, are developing and experimenting a number of use cases or solutions that can be easily replicated in other locations by DH or other integrator for end user. For that purpose, a use case tracker has been developed to collect all use cases developed by and experimented. A replicable assessment tool has also been developed to qualify the replicability level of each use case. And a catalog of replicable use cases is encompassing all this information in a single file. With such catalog, DIH can pick one or the other use case that fits the end user requirements and can easily implement it. So today, we have Claudio Di Maggio from Trust IT. We'll explain how we are collecting these use cases through using this vertical tracker. Then I shall present the replicability assessment tool. Then Manon Leyoche from DIH Bretagne will present how DIH are working with end users and define their needs. And then at the end, Dr. Lucia Casudias from DIH Data Life will explain how DIH are working with technology providers at local and regional level. So, Claudio, I will give you the floor. So my point is, how do you collect use cases developed and experimented by SNS GU project, and how do you identify those which are replicable? So the floor is yours, Claudio.
Thank you very much, Pierre, and good morning again, everybody. So as you know, or you might know, at Trust IT, we are a software company, and we built a couple of online cartographies that are interactive tools that allow to navigate through the project's use cases for different tech domains in the ICT field. But we've done this especially for telco-related projects. We already started at the time of LGPPP, and I have to acknowledge the work done by my former colleague, Stephanie Parker, on that. She's the one who kickstarted this activity with the first version of the verticals cartography, which was then further developed by myself and my colleagues for the SNS program. How do we collect the use cases? So the tool is an interactive tool that allows to classify different use cases created by SNS GU projects through a system of different taxonomies that are then translated into filters that allow to classify the use cases and to perform gap analysis and different type of assessments. What we did in this case, we knew that these projects would have a lot of use cases for us, but obviously it's not easy to engage projects because, again, people are busy. There is a lot of stuff going on. There are a lot of events, mundane activities throughout the SNS context from day one. So what we did is to, first of all, set up an online web form that allowed people to easily classify their use cases to, let's say, to submit an entry for our tool. It takes around 20 minutes, so it's not really difficult to create a use case. Then we can piggyback at people who enter the data and ask specific questions. But then the way to ensure that all use cases were mapped and submitted was to synchronize different bodies of SNS GU, let's say, support activities, and these are the steering board, the technological board, also the trials and pilots working group, the pre-standardization working group, and the trials and pilots brochure. So all together, and I have to acknowledge the help, you know, of Uwe Herzog from Eurescom, Kostas Trichias from GIA, and many other colleagues, Didier Bros from Nokia. So everybody I was synergically working, interacting to ensure that no project was, let's say, left behind and that all use cases could be duly classified, let's say. So we opened, through different mailing lists, we, let's say, opened for projects to submit the use cases in different rounds. So we started with call one, then we went into call two, and now we are going to do call three. And obviously, there was this system that was set up that allowed different projects to submit the use cases in different instances. So first through the mailing list, and then if people miss this deadline, we would go into the, let's say, different bodies and working groups and request inputs from the missing projects. So it was a bit of a daunting task, also a bit of hard working task, but we managed to map all use cases developed from SNSJU RNI projects from call one and call two thus far, for a total of 247 use cases from 52 projects. And overall, over 60 of these are also coming from third-party funded initiatives. So these are the results of projects running open calls and allowing external companies to develop different technological applications and innovations through a third-party funding system that is part of their budget. Okay, so this is to your first question. I hope if you have any other questions for me to specify further any details, please feel free. As for the Replicability Initiative, this was a work that we conducted together. What we did also really at the time of LGBP and then later on with SNSJU was to also insert a special section in our questionnaire in which we requested whether people were, first of all, interested in that, because obviously you need engagement to accomplish that, first of all. And it's always a bit difficult when you talk about replicability and interoperability with, you know, an engineering community, because there's always this tendency to try to reinvent the wheel. People want to be original. They want to create new things. And so it's a really, easy task to accomplish. But we were able to collect several entries. And I guess we are now going to start also cataloging them into the new catalog for 6G, right? Because we have done this for 5G and we will do it for 6G. And interestingly enough, also in a way predictably, we could say a lot of the people who declare to be interested are people that are developing innovations through the third-party funding system, through the open calls from projects. And I mean, it's obvious because obviously, these people have a more direct interest in go-to-market applications, right? So these are, I think, among the segments that submitted input for our tool, I would say that this is the most interesting and relevant category for us overall, at least as far as I observed so far. Obviously, projects working in RNI efforts with lower TRLs are less interested in that. But I think it will also be probably up to us to further piggyback at the submissions that we have and identify use cases that are compelling, that are interesting, especially those that declare to have a high level of technology readiness. So prototypes, trials, pilots, and perhaps try to understand whether there is an interest for that beyond what they declared in their submissions. I don't know if you have further questions for me. Otherwise, I hope this was enough.
So thank you. Thank you very much, Claudio. So very interesting presentation of this very powerful tool. So I hope that it will be used as much as possible in the future. And looking to this replicability aspect, now I will try to explain how we are qualifying the replicability level of each use cases with a tool that we have developed also together with the vertical tracker tool. So when use cases have been collected by the vertical tracker tools, we ask each project to provide information about potential replicable use cases. In case of positive answers, so we support them to use a replicability assessment tool in order to establish the level of replicability of a use case. This tool is a questionnaire addressing five dimensions. So it has been developed together with the IoTI Association, you know, so the association in charge of IoT and cloud computing. and edge. And this five dimension has the following one. So the first one is a technical dimension. So there are 11 questions. We try to understand how easy one use case could be replicable from the technical point of view. Second one is under the data dimension with six questions as well. So, and we try to understand if data are easily reused or replaced by other data with regard to the end user need. Then you have the market dimension with eight questions, which tries to understand if a business model or business plan already exists in order to be able to replicate it also in another case. Then the fourth one is the acceptation dimension with six questions, and we try to understand how easy it is possible to adapt the user interface of the solution regarding the brand, the color, language, and so on. And the last one is a regulation and policy dimension with three questions. We try to understand how the use case is linked to a local regulation. And at the end, so the tool is providing a notation with regard to the answers provided by each on each of the points. And if the result obtained is lower than 30 points, so we can consider that the use case is quite difficult to replicate. If it is between 30 and 60, so we can consider that the use case can be replicated. And if the number of points is collected is greater than 60, so we are considering that the use case is easily replicated. And this level of replicability is part of the replicability catalog. And today, as Claudio mentioned, so we have more 140 replicable use cases developed by SNSGU project. We have also collected use cases from the 5G PPP, so the previous program, and also with the IoTI large scale pilot. So there are a number of use cases, and we are trying, you know, to put in it in front of each of them this replicability level. And this obviously helps the DHEs or any integrator which are interested to reuse the result of the project to select so the most interesting one with regard to the end user needs and also so the easiness of this replication. So this this is a way, you know, to facilitate the take up of results. Result from SNSU project to the market, and as Claudio said, so a lot of interest is going from the SMEs who are willing, you know, to put in the market as soon as possible result from the research and innovation. So now, when this catalog exists, the idea is to make it available for DH. And now I shall give the floor to Manon Leyoche from DH Bretagne, who is managing this DH, and we're providing some information about the mission and the operation organization of the DH. So Manon, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so you asked me about before, how do we work with end users, but to start with, we need to find end users, and we need to actually get SMEs to engage in digital transformation. And it has been quite a challenge as well for us. Two things are really key in that aspect, and the use cases that you mentioned, having them is really useful for us because it really helps in our communication to get companies to engage to so that they can really identify themselves. And especially using specific use case from different sectors. And yeah, this was a key thing in our communication. And another one was actually to go on the field and go with them, go to Congress, go to sectorial events, not only digital oriented gathering, because then, yeah, it's a little bit twisted. They already know a lot on digitalization. What we wanted is really to reach out to companies that are a little bit more distant from digitalization. So once we raised awareness, it all starts with a one-on-one meeting with an EDIH advisor.
And there we really take the time to discuss with them, and really through active listening, we build trust, because it's really important to have that trusted relationship with them, because we're going to go to guide them through change, and we really need to ensure that it's a successful transformation. The first exchange is really essential to understand the company's strategic objectives. And then, based on that discussion, we decide what is the most suitable diagnosis to identify and collect their specific needs and create specific roadmap from there. And how do we do that? Then we use three different assessment tools. The first one is the basic one, let's say. It's an in-depth digital maturity assessment. And we really want to understand where the company stands and what can be improved. This evaluation leads to the definition of a personalized roadmap. And really, we make sure that digital transformation efforts are in line with the company resources and long-term strategy. So this is usually the first step, but sometimes they can want to proceed to a more specific assessment, because here in Brittany, we focus on cybersecurity and AI. So they can directly go to cybersecurity if they want to. And then, yeah, it's a cybersecurity assessment. So we assess the resilience, we identify vulnerabilities, and then we define, of course, a tailored action plan to help them strengthen their security with prioritized action, the quick wins, and the one that will require a little bit more time and investment from them. So this is what we do on cybersecurity. And then there is as well AI. So we have an AI assessment that works through a first step questionnaire and then a workshop to really provide a governance roadmap. So it's designed to not only guide technical implementation of AI, but really to ensure sustainable and efficient AI adoption through a holistic approach of AI in the company. Maybe if you want, I can give you a little example of how we work with one company. So in one of the events that we usually attend, it's an industry event, and we meet up with a company manufacturing in automotive sector. And the CEO has already undertaken quite a few initiatives in terms of digitalization. So he has already a little bit of an interest in that, but he really wants to explore new possibilities and to really stay ahead of competition. So we offer him to take a digital maturity assessment to have valuable insight on their current capabilities and areas of improvement. The results of that company showed quite high level of digitalization, actually, especially if we compare it to other companies in the same sector. They perform well in data governance and business digital strategy, even green digitalization. But one thing that was completely missing was AI. So the CEO thought that, that was a great opportunity to actually investigate the AI opportunities for them. So they took the AI diagnosis, and we worked closely with them, with the teams, and especially the workshop made us really co-design an AI governance roadmap to ensure a structured, holistic approach of their AI adoption. And we identified key priorities, and this roadmap was actually taken to the board, the board company, and was approved very quickly. So that showed a real commitment from them in their digital transformation. So now they're in the implementation phase, and in a couple of months, we are contacting them again to evaluate their progress to see where they're standing now. And we really think that it could actually benefit from joining collaborative innovation project. And that will be the next step with them. So that's basically how we work.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Manon. So very useful information. So it's true that so the main point is to find so the end user and then to discuss with them in order to discover and qualify their need. Now, I shall give the floor to Dr. Lucia Castro from DIH Data Life. She will explain how DIH are working with technology providers, because when you have discover and qualify the need of an user, you need to provide them so the most relevant solution, the most innovative solution. So please, Lucia, the floor is yours.
So before I go into how we work with technology providers, I'd like to follow up on what Manon was saying, because, you know, the IHs, they have arisen from the needs of the regions, so they are all different, like regions are different. So we have a similar service as you do, a roadmap, a technology roadmap for end users. But and we have also specialized the assessments. So funnily enough, ours are about verticals. So we have one for agriculture, one for nursing homes, another one for farms. So it's funny how we develop different methodology depending on what we find the needs are. But in everything else, like the process that you have described, where you have to sit with end users, that's the same kind of process as we do. In our roadmap, when we create a roadmap, or when a company comes to us with a particular need that they have already defined very well internally, so they don't need that much help on that, on the needs and requirements side, but on both cases, what we do in Data Life is we work as connectors. So we look at what the need is and whether it's something that can be sorted by a commercial technology provider. That's like the first thing we will look at. If it can be sorted by a company, by a software that is already on the market, that's what we will recommend. We will recommend go and buy, invest on technology, because it has the faster return on investment. And so that's one thing we do. We have a catalog of technology providers that have solutions specific to our sectors, because as a digital innovation hub, we do not cover that much generic technology. So we focus on what our sectors need, because it's not the same if you work in an office, trust me, as if you work in a farm. You need very specific type of technology on the farm. So the first thing we did when we started working in 2019 was out there, what is already available for companies. So we have a catalog, we have a mapping of commercially available technology for our sectors that we use to recommend actions and who can be the offer to bring about those actions. And then, of course, the other thing we have done is we have mapped the technology that our partners, our members, can provide. You have to remember that most of our members, Data Life members in particular, are either universities or technological centers, so they are not on the commercial side. We do have a few companies, but we work with them on the development of products. So we also have that. That's like our second circle of action. If it's not on the market, then you can work with one of our partners to match your needs and bring about a solution. Another circle, which is very important for us, which is the EDI network. So the European Digital Innovation Hub network in itself, with 150 or more digital innovation hubs, is an amazing source of knowledge when you're looking for a technology solution. And then we look at everything else. And this is where this project and the catalog of use cases is useful, because, you know, there is only so much you can learn. There is only so much you can have at hand
and in your region. For example, in Galicia, we specialize more on artificial intelligence. Smart connectivity is something some of our partners do, but to a certain level. And that's why initiatives like this, where I can go and you and search what has been done on 6G in agriculture or in health, and what could we be doing on our region? It's on the one hand, actually, I would call it more than use cases, success stories. That's what we call it, because we use this kind of projects, this kind of use cases, as you call it, as success stories that can inspire other companies out there to go for it. So if I go to a company and I say, oh, you should be using 6G, they will go like, what? Most of the companies we work with, at least, right? But if I go and say, look, you have a vineyard and you can have sensors on it and you can be collecting information in real time and you can actually be analyzing that information in real time by using edge computing, and the connectivity is going to be sorting and it's going to be protected. And look, this company in France has done it and they are very happy about it. That is going to be so much more convincing than just talking about 6G. So that's how we will use an initiative like this. And we do that for all the technologies that are not particularly covered by us. Like, for example, another one is robotics. It's not something that Alive has chosen as a specialization. So we use initiatives like yours and the EDI network to do this. For example, if that vineyard that is using 6G is French, I will, I'm from Brittany, I will ask Manon, can you contact them and can we do a webinar for Galician wine producers so they can hear from first hand? You know, that's very important. If the companies, if they hear for a company that is doing the same as they are, it's so much more convincing that we are. So that's a little bit how we work. There is another part that, another job that we do with technology providers. You have to remember that the sectors we cover in DataLife are agri-food, forestry and timber, healthcare, biotechnology. This is not industry. You know, these are sectors where solutions, digital solutions, are not always as developed as they are in industry. So we find that there is a need for that transfer of technology. We need to help technology providers to develop solutions. So we do a lot of work with different startups, companies, to help them develop those products. And I would say even more importantly, to bring them to market. This is why we have a work under the Digital Innovation Hub for mentoring of startups. We work with incubators, with accelerators. We work with private funds. And then we are also part of another big European initiative, which is the TEFs, the Testing and Experimentation Facilities, where technology providers can test and validate solutions so they reach the market faster. We are part of the Agri-Food TEF, and we are also collaborating with the other TEFs that Europe is funding. So I think those are some of the most important ways that we can help technology providers, which in turn helps the technology demanders, if we can call them by that.
Okay, so thank you very much, Lucia. Very, very interesting. So I understand that such an initiative is useful for you, but there are also other ways to discover and to identify technology providers. But that's one of the pillars, I would say. So I think that we are now reaching the end of this session. So we have covered all the topics. So hope that this information was useful. So we have seen that several tools have been developed to facilitate user needs discovery and to provide the most suitable solution to end user. Do not hesitate to contact the SNS ICE project if necessary. So we'll be happy to bring you additional information. So many thanks for the participant. So it's always interesting to share in order to be more efficient to avoid overlaps and gaps. So have a nice day.
This podcast is brought to you by SNS ICE, an EU-backed project focused on creating a collaborative environment for the development and deployment of 6G smart networks and services. The project has received funding from the European Union's Horizon Europe Research and Innovation Programme under Grant Agreement number 1010958411.